Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Our guest today on the Private Practice Secret podcast is Madeline Avje. And she'll correct me on the pronunciation of her surname because I've been practicing before we hit record. Madeline is an occupational therapist and the founder of Jump Up for Kids. And there's something quite different about Jump Up for Kids that Madeline will talk us through in this conversation. How are you, Madeline?
I'm terrific. Thank you, Kathy. And you did a wonderful job with the last name.
Oh, goodness. I've been practicing. It didn't feel fluent, and I've known you a little while, so my apologies for not being more particular with your name. So were you the right amount of nervous for our chat today?
I am. But, you know, I tell my boys whenever they do anything they're nervous about, you use those butterflies for good, and you channel that energy, so I'm ready for that.
Butterfly. Now, if we went back to the beginning, where did your private practice actually start?
Oh, gosh. That was back in around 2011, 2012. And so I had quite young children at the time, and I had taken a redundancy from public health and was at a bit of a crossroads. And I actually decided to do a postgraduate degree in teaching, early childhood teaching, because I had in my head that if you taught a child, you were in their life for a year and very, very consistently, and you might have even more ability to impact their life and make a positive difference. However, throughout the course of my studies, I realised that teaching is an amazing profession. However, it's another big system that I had just left for a variety of reasons, and I wasn't quite ready to go back into that system. And also throughout my studies and having much greater associations with teachers and, you know, the chance to really sit down and chat with them, realising that they were crying out for any support and all of the knowledge and the skills that allied health can bring to the education sector. And so it really started very informally from there, and I actually started receiving referrals from the schools that I'd done my prac placements at as a teaching student, and it grew from there. So it really was very much a part-time, I'd visit people's houses, I had an office at home, they'd visit mine sort of venture. And it has grown over the years, and it very much was growing without any type of plan. And it became a full-time job for me, and it became more than a full-time job because I was doing therapy as well as admin, as well as trying to keep on top of regulatory requirements, as well as just everything that comes with running a business. And so going in thinking, oh, yes, I'll be an OT and I'll have my own hours and I'll run my own show, and then just having it become all-consuming. And so then over the last few years, very much with your guidance, I've been able to rein that in a little bit and get some control back over my life, and that's actually allowed me to grow my business so that I now have, I still do see families and work with children, but I also have a number of therapists working with me. I've got administrative support, bookkeeping support, a great accountant on board, and I no longer have to feel like that I should be on top of everything and that I have to know everything, because I've got this great team of people working with me. And it's also allowed us to develop our outdoor program, our outdoor play program, which is not OT as such, but it is based on a lot of therapeutic principles and coupled with all of the things that children are missing out on these days, because they are inside a lot more and they're on screens a lot more. And so we've developed these wonderful programs. So I've got a lot of great things going on that I wouldn't have envisaged back in 2011. So it sort of went from a very ad hoc thing that grew and became out of control to now something that I feel like is sometimes under control, sometimes not. But I honestly feel like I can sort of, I can say that I run a business now rather than I'm an OT that's trying to make sure all the other stuff is right in the background. So that's been a very nice change.
Oh, I am sitting here grinning from ear to ear that you run a business and that you're not not an OT as such. That is incredible. Now, you've mentioned, and look, I'm going to pat you on the back and send you a virtual hug because I know how hard you've worked to shape-shift that creative anarchy into something that behaves itself and something that other people can work with as well. So my love and congratulations on that one as well.
Thanks, Kathy. Pleasure.
You've mentioned a couple of times this outdoor play and we've spoken about whether it's OT or not, and I very firmly believe that it's OT in its purest, messiest, muddiest sense. Tell us about the outdoor play part of Jump Up for Kids.
So Jump Up Outdoors is something that we run primarily during school holidays, and then we have a couple of twilight sessions throughout the term. But I would agree with you. I think it is, it's OT in its absolute basest form. It is children in the occupation that they should be doing in order to develop into healthy, active, contributing members of our society. And so it is, it's a fantastic program. The staff love it, the kids love it, and we all look forward to the holidays. We have an amazing outdoor space that we rent from a school here in Brisbane. It has an amazing tidal creek. We've got enormous trees that have been growing forever. We've got shaded areas. We've got hills with red mud. We've got grassy hills. It's just got this incredible diversity within this natural environment. And coupled with that, we've got a trailer full of, some would say crap, to us. It is treasured. It's just, it's treasure. And honestly, the things every school holidays, it essentially is the same, you know, loose materials and upcycled materials. But to see the children use it in just this myriad of ways is just, it's really gobsmacking, to be honest. So we, the children come to this environment, they have access to, it is a shed on wheels, essentially, this trailer, so they've got access to all the materials in there. And we don't structure the day, so we don't really have a plan in place, other than we have to make sure that the kids have sunscreen on at various times, sunscreen and mozzie spray, and that they eat and go to the toilet. Other than that, the kids really have scope to do whatever they want. So it's unstructured play in its very best form. And the reason that we really focus on the outdoor environment is because, one, kids don't have access to outdoor environments in the way that we may have, you know, one or two generations ago. And the beauty of the natural environment is that it's unpredictable. And so you can be there one day and the muddy hill that we have to walk down to get to our play area is really easy to navigate and it's got little potholes, and then the next day you can get there and it's rained, so it's slippery and it's a whole different kettle of fish to get down. You know, there's spiders, and we've even seen snakes there. There's all of these things that allow children to have a different environment every time they show up and to be in an environment where they are actually able to assess risk for themselves. So they have the ability to try things that they might never have done and to look at it and figure out what their ability is, what they want to do, what they're capable of doing, and just giving it a go. And I think, you know, we're looking at doing some research soon into the benefits of the program, but if you look at things like the ability to assess risk later in life, and particularly in the teenage years, when we put kids behind a car, children are currently living in a very risk-averse society. So, you know, we're giving them those opportunities to develop those skills, to develop their imagination and creativity in a way that they don't get to in other environments. And I guess one of the, you know, there's so many, I could go on and on. There's a lot of really amazing benefits, some of which we didn't anticipate. And one of those is the multi-age play. And so we have children who go to primary school. So if you're primary school age, you can come along. And just to see the types of play that children engage in, and so the younger children really looking up to and aspiring to doing some of the things that the older kids do, and the older kids taking on nurturing roles, or, you know, just things that you don't often see in school playgrounds, or even in backyards anymore, because kids have got higher fences, they're not home as much, or they're indoors. But we have tremendous fun. We're down at the creek, we have mud fights covered from head to toe. We've got my school holidays, someone will build a treehouse, and we've had the Taj Mahal of treehouses. They've had roofs and curtains, and they're fully painted and just wonderful. And I guess some of the other favourites are base building, and the kids will camouflage themselves and covered in mud and be up in the woods, and they've developed this whole intricate way of getting through the entire environment without anyone seeing them. So it is amazing fun. It's a tricky one to train our staff for, because it is so much fun. So we really have to make sure that we strike that balance of, yep, we are there about play, but our primary role is to keep our children safe and make sure that we're not having so much fun that someone, you know, chooks off somewhere. So, you know, we've got amazing staff. It's a very unique working environment. So it takes a bit of getting used to for some people, but most of us love it, adults and kids alike. And it's lovely when the parents pick their children up. We've just had wonderful feedback time and time again, and most parents will say, this is the childhood I had when I was a kid, and I just don't know how to give that to my child in today's society. And so it's a wonderful product that we offer as part of the Jump Up package. Something that adds value to any childhood. So we have children that come along that they just book sort of for a holiday experience, or we have some of our children that we know through Jump Up therapy, and it adds a whole extra element to their therapy goals and their therapy plan. And to see some really lovely growth and development for those kids through their involvement in the outdoor program as well.
Take a breath. It's amazing.
I love it. Once you get me started, Kathy, I can't stop on outdoors.
It would be lovely if I didn't have to stop you. It's absolutely sublime. For those that are listening, and if it's safe to do so, I'm going to suggest that while you listen along to the rest of it, jump onto Facebook and go to Jump Up for Kids, occupational therapist, and have a look for yourself at the photos of kids doing awesome right through the social media posts, which are also just some of my favourites, Madeline, you know that. But there's kids feeding lambs, there's kids wrangling cardboard into forts, there's a lot of mud, there's a very proud sailor with a raft that they've built, and on it goes. It's just kids getting down and dirty and finding their way through the environment. But imagine the teamwork and the social conversation and the collaboration and the debates and all of that amazing language. You must have speech pathologists that are very curious about what you're up to.
We do. We've had a lot of interest from a range of different sectors. I guess we're sort of at the point now where we're looking at different ways of partnering with different people, whether it be Allied Health or whether it be the education sector, and we're very close partners with Nature Play Queensland, whose main goal is to get children outside and playing. But I just think the benefits for children are, you know, it's a holistic program that targets pretty much every facet of development. So it really ticks a lot of boxes for a lot of people who are working with children. And I think the main thing that comes out of this is, yes, we do have an environment that often works against healthy development for children. That is the society that we live in. And it's the thing that comes out of this is we can still do this. It's not too late, and we can provide our kids with a really with the type of childhood they deserve and they need to develop in a healthy way. And, you know, a lot of our interest is coming from the early childhood sector that is so constrained and so restricted that this type of play is really, it becomes a very big deal in some settings. So it's been really exciting to work with a whole range of people in terms of we know what children need, we know the benefits of this type of play, and let's look at, we can do it, we've shown it, we've proven it, it's possible within all regulatory, you know, and legal frameworks, we can do it. And so our kids deserve this. I think they really deserve for us to try and give them the childhood that we did have, along with all of the other bits that they need in the world today. So I'm not totally anti-technology, but that's another topic
when it works.
Together, when I get started on that.
So you've alluded to the fact that it takes a team to run a business, and you've got an occupational therapy as we kind of know it service going, and you've got the outdoor play service going as well. What have you learnt over the last few years about finding great teammates and training them and retaining them?
Okay. First thing would be go with your gut instinct. Mm. And so I, when interviewing people, I often, you know, you have an impression, and I've a few times gone against that for, you know, a variety of reasons, what may be written on resume or experience or whatnot, and it's always come back to bite me. So I've learnt to trust myself a lot more over the years. In terms of training, this is a tough one because, we've been doing it for a long time, but it changes all the time, I think. And, that's maybe one of the keys, is that we're really open to feedback from all of the staff, and it changes all the time. And the other thing that I think has added to the success of it is that I've taken myself out of developing a lot of the training packages and programs, and that when we do review it, it's the staff that are doing the programs, whether it's the outdoor staff or the therapy staff, that really contribute to that. And obviously I have input and oversee that, but I think it's made it much more real, and it's made it much more useful, just even in terms of formatting and the way things are presented and when they're presented. So I have found that, one, really great in that I don't have to do it, so it's hours and hours and hours that I save and can put into something else. But two, it's made it much more practical and tangible and accessible, I think, for the people who work here. In terms of retaining staff, I think flexibility for us has been the key, both with therapy and with outdoors. And so I think really the workforce wants to that balance, that work-life balance between whatever's happening at home and, you know, what they want out of their work. And so I think the ability to sort of look at different models of employment, so contract versus employee type of stuff for different people, as well, you know, and different hours and different ways of them working. So whether it's clinic-based or school-based or, you know, we've got one OT who doesn't see children at all, but she works a lot on product development and presentations to staff, to school staff and parents. So, and again, I do some planning. I do a lot of planning around how I see the business going. But some of that changes when we get different people on board, because they've got different skills that might add or slightly, you know, change the direction of some of the programs that we do offer or we're planning to offer. So I don't know if I'm answering your question. And I don't think I've nailed it yet. I find HR and recruitment one of the really trickiest things of of keeping Jump Up for Kids going. So finding great people is a real challenge, and sort of meeting both of our needs. Finding great people isn't all that hard, but finding great people and being able to meet their personal needs as well as the needs of Jump Up for Kids is really tricky. So I think flexibility, going with the flow, and, you know, I never would have thought I'd say it, Kathy, but having that business plan that you go back to and really centre your thinking so that you know whether you are making the right decision in terms of the people that you're bringing on board, so that you're heading in that right direction all of the time.
Yeah, the business plan certainly provides you with a destination and usually also a map, a bit of a map for a couple of ways for how to get there. What I heard was when you were speaking about your team was this wonderful idea of almost a strengths-based approach. So within your teammates that you're really identifying where they excel and really leveraging that. And I guess that's illustrated by engaging an OT to deliver information and workshops and to build partnerships and networks as well, and that it's okay to leverage that skill set and passion and not always have to deliver clinical services. That's a very cool move.
Yeah, it's worked well, and it was sort of a moment of, it was part of my own personal journey as well in terms of, well, like, you know, do I want to be doing direct clinical work all the time, or do I want to develop this business? And, you know, real that same thing of realising that we don't all have to be doing things the same way and all of us doing the same things all of the time. And so it has, it's been wonderful. And I've had a lot of ideas bubbling around in my head whilst I've been drowning in not running a business for a number of years and, you know, doing OT and pretending to run a business. And by using that sort of strengths-based approach, it's really allowed a lot of the stuff that's been in the planning stages or on the sidelines for a long time to start to come to fruition and actually happen. And so it's really exciting to see some of that occurring. Particularly for my husband, who's listened to my harebrained schemes for many, many years now.
We thank him.
I don't think he can quite believe it.
The country thanks him. So your team sound vibrant and energetic and playing to their strengths. What do they do incredibly well?
I think the one thing, and this is probably particularly in relation to our therapy stream, so Jump Up Therapy, I think we're excellent at collaborating with everybody involved in the child's care, and we do that in a number of ways, and it's through the provision of you know, written notes and fact sheets and a whole range of things, as well as sort of that face-to-face and phone. And but I think we've really nailed the ability to take a central role in the management of the child's progress and care and development, and so that families that often come to us and are feeling very lost and disillusioned and things are very segmented and one person said one thing and they're getting home programs from a million people, over time we have really pulled it together so that we are able to offer an occupational therapy service that also takes on a bit more of that, I guess, case, we don't call it that, but I guess it's a case management sort of role and helping families really negotiate that next step, where to now, and pulling information together and helping them feel more in control of both their family and their child's futures. So I think that's something that we're very proud of, and we also receive some really great feedback from a lot of people, from parents, teachers, some of the paediatricians, you know, the people that we're in contact with an awful lot seem to really like the way that we're able to do that. So very proud of that. And the other thing that I think we do really well is our social events. We're really good at that. And I think it sounds flippant, but it's actually a really vital thing, because we actually are a a geographically dispersed team. We rarely see each other face to face. My admin is up in Toowoomba, and the OTs, we all work, travelling around. We offer a mobile service and some clinic-based services, so we hardly ever see each other. We talk and we email a lot, but when we get together, we have an awesome time. And so we've got a few scheduled events throughout the year that are sort of our big jump-up social events, and then we have a few with sort of formal, just off-the-cuff type of things. But it's a really good chance just to get to know each other and relax and create that real team atmosphere. So we do that really well, sometimes a little bit too well, I must say. But
the team that parties together stays together. So the right amount, got to say.
Yeah. And it's, we're not ridiculous, but it's a really nice time, particularly those regular events. So we have the spring fling and there's a few other things, and that we look forward to them and we start planning them early. And it just, amidst some of the stuff that, the day-to-day stuff can be really, demanding a lot of the time, and to have those things to look forward to and to get to know the people that you're working with has been really lovely.
Yeah. Sounds like fun. All of this amazing business growth and innovation and team management isn't going to magic itself up out of thin air, and I know that over the last couple of years you've metamorphosed from clinician to manager. What does your week usually look like in terms of clinical management, marketing? How does it all hang together?
Okay, so I'm still on a journey. I wouldn't say that I'm quite where I would like to be yet, and I'm probably still doing a little bit more clinical work than I would like. So I probably have about 3.5 full days of clinical work at the moment. I try to keep my one day of management time free, and then half a day for sort of, my clinical paperwork, so reports and all of that type of thing. And on my management day, there's a lot of stuff. There's just a lot of stuff. There's website development.
So
and
much
there's,
stuff.
There's stuff coming out my ears. So I'd still like to, keep outsourcing some of that as I have the capacity to. But, yeah, and, marketing is a big focus for us this year, and so I'm sort of making time each fortnight to meet with a marketing specialist to really get our to get some mums on the board there. But it is very much, I just think, there's a big change. Nothing stays constant for long, and so it is this constant change and flux, whether it be in schools and their policies around having external providers come in, or whether it be the NDIS, or whether it be, registration requirements or whatever, there's always something that's changing. And I find that having that day a week just allows me to feel vaguely on top of some of that sort of stuff and to keep abreast with the things that that are really important to the future growth of our business, and to make sure that we're compliant with everything that we need to comply with. But yeah, one day is never long enough. So like I said, I'd like to probably continue with 2 clinical days a week and then have the other 3 days to do lots of stuff, lots of business planning, some research. There's a lot of different things that we've sort of got on the plan that we'd like to start actioning. So yes, it's still a real juggle. But I think when I first met you, Kathy, I think I probably was ready to chuck it all in. Like it really wasn't in a very good spot at all. So I feel like 1,000,000% improved beyond that point. But in terms of that work-life balance, I have to be very, very strict with myself, and that probably will always be the case. Really making sure that I prioritise what my life goals are and why I'm doing all of this, so that I make sure that gets slotted in first, and then work comes after that, and business development and things. So it's tricky, though. It's very tricky.
Yeah, it's more than a juggle, because a juggle implies just two things, doesn't it? It's sort of a juggle with a kitten and a chainsaw and a small child and a dozen eggs. It's anything could break or at any point, and none of those things bounce. So, it's ongoing evolution for most allied health business owners. So, I guess it's next.
And I think the other important thing with that is that in the past have not been good at, but I'm getting better at, is that ability to not crisis management, but manage problems. You know, when things do crop up, and they always will, and it used to just make me, like, I just feel like, oh, this is the end, and oh, we can't cope with this. And whereas now it's just, okay, this is happening, and what are our options, and okay, which one's best for us, and then we move forward. You know, that nothing is irreparable, or not much is irreparable. You know, that we can problem solve and we can work through this, and there's always options. So, and I think that's been really helpful in terms of our moving forward as well.
Yes. Amazing, amazing. For those listening, before we hit record, Madeline had mulching going on in her background. I now have lawn mowing, so we'll see how that appeases your earbuds or not. So the ongoing learning around business management and team leadership, what are your proudest business moments to date?
Oh, my goodness. When I set up my company, and it was my company, and because I've been in partnership and things before, so that was a very proud moment. Employing my, or having my first contract start, you know, starting to develop a team, having a team, that's the Jump Up for Kids team, has been a really big moment. The website going live has been very integral to our business. And I think moving forward, all of that, you know, that team growth, keeping up with technology, all of that is really areas that we need to be continuing. And I think, like, you know, we've made a really big commitment to, no matter what type of growth and development that we undertake, that client satisfaction and customer service and, you know, excellence in that area is really central to everything that we do. Because I think as part of all of this, you know, you talk to different specialists that focus on financial planning, or they focus on website development, and it is, you know, as we just touched on, it is one facet of a really complex kind of business. So, and all very important facets, that one bit, and I think sometimes it can be very easy to travel down one path. And so we sort of made that, if we keep at the centre of everything, the customer journey and their perception of the service that they're receiving, then we can link all of the other bits and pieces to that. That's another continuing journey. But from my perspective, I've got a lot to learn in the world of business still, and I think, you know, they talk about the cycles of business and infancy and teenage years and a mature business, and, you know, I don't know where my business is exactly, but I still feel very much in infancy in terms of my business knowledge. I can talk OT till the cows come home, but it's really the more I learn, the more I want to learn, and it's you know, my proudest moment, I never would have thought I'd own a business. So I had worked in the public service for a very long time. I'd worked overseas for different providers. And to have something that's mine and that people call and they want, you know, they've been referred because we've done a great job, is something that just makes me incredibly proud. And to continue to do that and to continue to make it even better, and to potentially offer that service to more and more people by having a bigger team is something that would make me really happy. Bring me a lot of satisfaction in terms of my you know, professional life. And wow, maybe allow me to take a holiday here and there.
Yeah, yeah, holidays are good. What a what
but
beautiful.
I'm not with three teenage boys. They're not Kathy.
Maybe on your own. Maybe just disappear off to the tropics on your own for a couple of weeks.
Professional development trip, yes.
You're bound to be able to find something somewhere. What beautiful words. I hope that you listen to this recording and you listen back to what you just said in terms of what you're proud of. I was just enthralled listening to it. If we think about the growth that you've had in the last couple of years, what do you think the next 2 or 3 years are going to bring?
In terms of outdoors, we have decided that we are keeping one site, but that we're hoping to grow the numbers and the number of programs that are offered at that site. We would like to get some research started to look at the effects of our program, and that would be collaborating with some of the universities to do that, so that's really exciting, and also looking at offering professional development to others. And we've done that, but it's probably been in a fairly ad hoc way to date. So to really look at how we can up the ante with that and reach more people and make it less staff intensive in terms of developing products that can be rolled out, or whether they're on electronic platforms or whatever. So that's the plans for outdoors. And in terms of therapy, we're hoping to develop, we're very much school-based at the moment, and I think that's a changing sphere as we speak. So we're looking at, one, advocating for that, because I actually really believe that it's a very, very effective model of care. In terms of being able to see children in the environment that they spend a lot of time in and collaborate with staff. So continuing to advocate that that's a great way to work for a lot of children, but also looking at how we can meet the needs of families in different ways. And so it's sort of a little spoken, I won't say properly now, is it spoken hub model? But basically we're going to have central clinic-based services, so little hubs everywhere, and then outreach to different venues, whether they be schools or community health sort of centres, or just partnering with different groups other than education that are involved in child development as well. But very much looking at developing some of that clinic-based services. There's a lot of reasons for that, but a very practical reason is also at the moment when we visit school, we're quite a small team, and so we have our equipment stored in a certain place and people can come and go from there. But as we grow and there's more staff and the geographic areas are larger, we really need to have, little pods or hubs everywhere that have all of our, the jump up stuff that everybody needs, and therapists can drop in and drop out and that type of thing. There's a lot.
You must have very, very big whiteboards.
I try not to use whiteboards or butcher's paper anymore, Kathy. I'm really trying. And I laugh because I love my butcher's paper. But I am trying to use different electronic planning things and keep everything on Trello so that things don't get lost and the team has access to it and all of that type of thing. But,
Trello,
you know, every now and again I do like dragging things. That has a great sense of satisfaction when you can take a task and drag it from column to column.
Done.
But every now and again I do still have to get out my markers and my kitchen paper. But I do still like them.
You've always been very tech curious and tech savvy, and Trello is one, and you've used other applications that connect bits and pieces of information. You've always sort of strived for automation on the behind the scenes sort of front. What are you using practice management software wise at the moment?
At the moment we're using Clinico, And that's something that's up for review relatively soon. We're not using it to its fullest capacity. So we are basically using Clinico to schedule and to invoice. So we don't keep our patient files there. And that's because of a lot of, as you say, the background stuff that is happening in terms of our website and having forms submitted. And so we're able to, with the patient, of the file management systems that we've got, a lot of that background stuff in terms of teach questionnaires and parent questionnaires and sending information out to families is actually automated, and we can't do that through Clinico if we have our patient files there. I really like Clinico because it's very easy and it's very intuitive, and I love that if you ask them a question, they get back to you really, really quickly and with a really sensible response. So they've been fabulous in terms of that. And for my practice administrator, you know, she just loves the ease with which she can send out invoices and keep track of everything. But in terms of HICAPs and having an integrated system where everything is in one spot, we really need to look at that moving forward. So it's a very much comfortable thing. I've had that since I started back in 2011. So it's a real, you know, it's kind of like having hot chips on a Friday night. It just feels nice and comfy. So
predictable, you know what you're going to get.
But moving forward, I would like to have everything a real one stop. Jump up to kids, and you can, every process is in one spot.
Yeah. And it's the sign of a growing business that you're challenging the systems and you're challenging your procedures and you're challenging the human touch that's needed to progress activities and challenging automation. So I commend you for that. It's been a source of delight and frustration, I could imagine, getting all of that stuff ironed out.
Yes. Ours is pouring over things, you know, and the product is fantastic, but the setup is excruciating. And I've had a wonderful, wonderful website development team, and they've done all of the automation. So I'm very spoiled, so I shouldn't complain at all, but
it was a long process.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that is continually changing too. Just keeping on top of that.
I noticed when you were talking about our future plans that it was very much reaching more and making more of an impact and more partnering with the community. But I didn't hear the words NDIS in your future plans. We didn't really agree before I hit record about whether we were going to go there or not. What do you think we should do?
We can chat. Probably need a safe word so that I stop if I start ranting.
I'll just hit pause and you can just talk to yourself and I'll entertain the crowds elsewhere. So you're in Brisbane. It's rolling out in Brisbane. What are your thoughts, just in general politically correct terms?
Yeah. Look, over the last 2 years, and, you know, it's that whole thing of, oh, yeah, it's the 1st of July 2018. And so you know that you can put it off a little bit. But I've looked into things. I've started the application. I've gone on to PRODA, all of that sort of thing, probably about 4 or 5 times. I've had these false starts and then thought, oh, no, I've got a bit of time up my sleeve. Well, here we are with a couple of months to go. And I'm in two minds. I just think I'm glad that I haven't set things up earlier, given the degree of change that is happening. And I guess watching some of the video conferences and going to some of the live training, I guess my concern is I'm listening to much larger providers than myself talk about the administrative burden and how onerous the processes are. And, you know, we've got the quality and safety framework coming on board, and I just think if organisations as big as those who I've listened to are really struggling to manage the processes, it's something that I just find quite overwhelming. And so we've actually recently made a decision just to put that aside, and we're not going to be ready, NDIS ready, on the 1st of July. And it doesn't have a massive impact on our current caseloads, but I'm very conscious of future growth of the business will be impacted if we, you know, don't make some move. But I guess I would like a greater degree of continuity in terms of the processes and having a lot of the stuff that still doesn't seem to be ironed out to be ironed out and to have much more transparent and easier processes in terms of workflow and the amount of time it's going to take admin staff to manage that. Because at the moment, I honestly think with the amount of children that we will have that will transition to NDIS on the 1st of July, we'd lose money in terms of what we could bill and the amount that I'd be paying in terms of administration to manage that. So it's a bit of, we will definitely watch this space and, you know, keep abreast of the changes, but at this point it's not something that we're actively progressing.
Yeah, and preparing for. And in addition, there's the independent price review and this potential tiered pricing as well. I heard you take an intake of breath then. Are you still with us? And the impact that that could have as well.
So,
perhaps the smart position is to observe with curiosity and optimism.
Yes, I like that optimism. That's something I don't often attribute to NDIS, so thank you, Kathy.
My pleasure. Two words that don't usually appear in the one sentence, but for which I still hold the space that it might get a little bit messier yet, but then there is optimism still in the long-term gain, which may well be years away. So, yeah, we're all waiting. Yeah. And hopefully no one is holding their breath because that might not be well.
Stop that now.
Yes. Take a breath. Take a breath. Now, with all of my guests, or certainly the guests where I remember, I give them the chance to ask me a question. Is there anything that you would like to ask me?
I have a million questions, Kathy, which is
just one.
Why we need to meet more regularly. Let me think. What practice management software would you recommend at this point in time?
Oh, gosh, that's foxy and controversial. What's happened? I'm going to answer in a roundabout way, and you might not even like the answer, which I'm pretty comfy with. It depends on many, many things. It depends on the size of your business. It depends on your curiosity and commitment to understanding the software and absolutely maximizing it and really maxing it out right across your systems and business. It depends less on price, and this is where people get, in my opinion, a little bit sort of stuck. They sort of see it as this financial choice that they make. And, in fact, you're not always comparing apples and apples because the choices are quite different. And I encourage people to think about not the price and times it by the number of teammates and times it by 12 months, but to actually think about the freedom it gives the business and the team and the business owner and the actual value. You know, really well-used practice management software can save a salary, can save an admin salary, can save, you know, a virtual salary, however you're kind of running it. So, you know, Clinico's a crowd favourite at the moment. It's beautiful. It's elegant. It's user-friendly. They pride themselves with their customer service. Core Plus is going from strength to strength and is perhaps, in my opinion, leading the field in the digital health space, the privacy sort of space. Power Diary's gone from strength to strength. Nucle's gone from strength to strength. So there's been more change and more progress, as I see it, in the last 2 years than in the 20 years beforehand, and it's a lot more competitive and there's more players in there making more progress. So we're sort of spoiled for choice in a way, and never has it been easier to migrate from one system to another as well, because all the providers will help with that. So I'm cautious to recommend one over another because there's just a few variables there. But the biggest variable is the owner's mindset to really get stuck in, understand it, and use it to the absolute 120th of its ability.
Yes, thank you. That is very useful. And just having those few names, there are a few there I hadn't heard of, so thank you,
Kathy. Okay. Pleasure. All righty, I am going to give you the very last word. So I can also move back to my desk now because I think the lawnmower and the outdoor vacuum and bush cutters and every other noisy piece of equipment from the neighbours has all been packed away. What is it that you would like to leave us with about your business, about what you do, maybe even about what you think about childhood? How would you like to kind of wrap up our chat?
Our catchphrase at Jump Up for Kids is great ways to grow, and that's something that I personally am very passionate about. I think our children deserve greatness. We live in this amazing, wealthy, spoiled for choice society, and I think we have the capacity to really match childhood development and health and resilience and mental health with the activities that they spend their days doing. And so I really challenge everybody who's working with children to look for those great ways to help our children grow as we move in an increasingly complex and technological world. They deserve it. So.
Cheers to you. Thank you so much for sharing your business adventure with us. I am absolutely certain it's going to go from strength to strength. It would be great to have you back next year, because we can chat about the NDIS, but more importantly, we can chat about how your business is serving childhood and all of those little lives that you're making such positive change about. Thank you, Madeline. In the show notes, we will put a link to Jump Up for Kids, and you'll be able to read about their OT programs and also get in and have a look at their outdoor play programs, which are absolutely divine and unique. Thank you. And please come back. Please come back.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.